For those of you who don't know me, I'm Roger Grady. For those of you who know me, I'm still Roger Grady. First time I've been in this position before you as a preacher or teacher, really more of a facilitator. Probably have some questions. You can feel free to answer them. I'm not good at lecturing. I was at the Gary and Kim's house Friday night and practicing singing. Yes, I'm a wedding singer, believe it or not, and many didn't. But I heard Chandler talking about how he prepared last week. And he said he did a lot of mulling. And some I've heard from here said he mulled too much, I think. I did a lot of mulling myself on Monday and Tuesday this morning. Everything sounded great when I was doing my mulling. I don't know how it's going to go right now, but I'll try and recall some of the things that I mulled. And maybe we'll get through this by, I've been put on notice. I don't have a lot of time, but I promised I'd be done by 9. You didn't go that long, did you, Chandler? No? Okay, well, then I might set a record. We are going to discuss, and I will facilitate this discussion regarding ignorance is not bliss. We have a definition, and we find one in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you will have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. When I graduated from college some time ago, I kind of thought I knew a lot, and maybe a lot of everything. That was a bachelor's degree. And Abraham Lincoln was speaking at, that wasn't my graduation, that was Anita's high school graduation. I did have a president speak at my graduation, I think, was a president, maybe the president of the college. Could have been a vice president. Maybe one of my professors spoke, I don't know. That's how ignorant I was when I graduated from college getting a bachelor's degree. I had no clue as to what was going on in reality, even though I thought I knew just about everything I needed to know to get a job, to do things in the world that most people do to earn a living, until I got a job and they decided they needed to send me to some kind of training. Well, I thought I knew everything, but obviously I didn't. 20 years after that, I entered the master's program at Pepperdine, and I knew then, even though I graduated with a master's degree, I knew that I didn't know everything. I knew that there was more things that I didn't know than I knew. But if we're talking about ignorance, we probably should define what it means. According to the dictionary, ignorance is considered a condition of lacking of knowledge or training, lacking of training, lacking information, uninformed, uneducated, unaware, illiterate. And a lot of those things sound rather harsh for being ignorant. J.J. Turner thinks that ignorance is not bliss, but you know, when you're ignorant, you really do think that you're blissful. At least I did. If we look at bliss, we're talking about supreme happiness, utter joy, or contentment. Well, if you're ignorant and you're happy and you're joyful and you're content, why wouldn't you want to stay that way? What's wrong with that condition? Why wouldn't you want that condition to continue? We're going to find that there are certain things that, when we talk about ignorance, that it is okay, and in many cases it is not okay. I think that ignorance comes in several different classifications and categories. One of them is willful. Willful ignorance. If you had to define that, what would you say? What is willful ignorance? Okay, I don't know, and I don't want to know, or it doesn't really matter. Someone made the decision to be that way themselves? Okay, willful ignorance. And you know, we are, all of us maintain this, do we not? Don't we maintain a certain level of willful ignorance? I know I do. So there are things that where we consider ignorance willfully as acceptable. There's probably also a lacking of capability. There may be ignorance because of the incapability of actually perceiving the things that we defined within ignorance. What would be an example of lacking capability? Can you think of any? Okay, lack of information certainly is a good one. Lack of information would not give you the capability of overcoming ignorance. Anything else? Don't have access to information, right? Lacking the tools, okay. Even perhaps lacking intelligence. I mean, just lacking the mental capacity to actually remove yourself from an ignorant situation. In some cases, one can't control that, if that is the case. It's also possible that ignorance could be a case of lacking desire. You just don't care. If I learned anything in my undergraduate program that was really important to me was I learned what apathy was. I really didn't think too many college students would be apathetic, but I found they were. They didn't care. It didn't matter to them, especially in some organizations where I was leading in some way and wanted to get people to help and wanted to commit them to doing things, not unlike we try at church. And they didn't, even though they might pay money, they might pay dues, they might go to meetings, but to get them to do something, they didn't care. Lacked desire. It didn't matter to them. If we take willful ignorance and we define that as that's your choice. You know, I've examined just a few things where I am willfully ignorant. Medicine, I don't know anything about it. I'm not a doctor. I have to rely upon others to fill that gap for me. I have no intention of being a doctor. I don't even know how to cure a cold. We just take everything down our throat as we can, I guess. That's about what I do. I don't know anything about biology, auto mechanics. I wish I did. Astronomy, cooking. If I wasn't married, I'd probably have starved to death long ago. I just don't know how to prepare food. Oh, peanut butter and jelly, yes. Pretty mean cheese sandwich. I can scramble some eggs. That's about it. And this list goes on and on. I am willfully ignorant in all kinds of areas, all kinds. And I choose to be that way, and I don't know, even if I wanted to change that condition, I don't know that I could be a doctor. I don't know that I could be a chef. I don't know that I could be an auto mechanic. I just don't know anything about those particular subjects, and certainly am willfully ignorant in those. I just don't have the desire to know anything about them. I have to rely on others for the information that would be necessary to contend with these particular issues, and the list is longer than my arm. The list of what I don't know willfully exceeds what I have chosen to know. If there is ignorance lacking capability, how can that be changed? If we've defined it already as lacking information, lacking intelligence, lacking knowledge of any number of things, is that a condition that really can be changed? Is there anything we can do about that? What can we do about it? Okay, if it's an area specifically where we can study, would be one way of overcoming the capability. Anything else? Training, okay. I was lacking the capability when I was hired for my first job. They sent me to training so I could do the job they wanted me to do. So training, study, certainly is some way to overcome a lacking of a capability. We know that if you want to overcome your willful ignorance, just change your attitude. Decide that you don't want to be ignorant in auto mechanics or cooking or whatever else may come along. Anything else? Practice. I'm sorry?
Practice.
Practice. Okay. Practice. I think even it might have been in this body at some point in time somebody talked about, and I can't remember who, but it was regarding practice, and we talked about practice makes perfect. But we were corrected, and I enjoyed the comment, was you need perfect practice to make perfect, because we know you can practice and practice and practice the wrong way, and what's the result? The wrong way. Yeah, if you practice things the wrong way, the result is going to be wrong. So practice in itself isn't enough to overcome ignorance. You have to have perfect practice if you want perfection, and that's certainly difficult to do. Okay, so we have the capability of overcoming a lacking of capability if we wish. Ignorance lacking desire. We define that what? We don't care. I don't care. Doesn't matter. There's no need. Can this condition be overcome? What would overcome lacking desire for ignorant people that are lacking desire?
Motivation.
I'm sorry?
Motivation.
Okay, motivation. Motivation would overcome that. I guess we'd have to try and figure out how we'd motivate somebody. When I think of motivation, I think of an athlete. Pretty sure that most athletes are motivated, they're self-motivated, and if that isn't enough, they're motivated by a coach that would convince them that they need to be motivated, perhaps more than they are. Motivation would work. Anything else? Chris. Okay. You lack desire, but something in your life could change your perspective to such a degree that your desire changes, that you determine that you're not going to be ignorant in whatever area that might be. And certainly that's a motivator. I'd consider that in the fear category. Fear is a good motivator. I know that was one of the unique things that my dad used when I was a child. And it worked. And I tried to use that on my boys because that's all I had. Well, not all I had, but certainly one of the motivators was fear. And there's a certain age where that's the only thing that works. Anything else? Okay, love. If you're lacking a desire, but you decide that you now love an activity, or you love something else, or you love to learn, love can overcome a lacking of desire. Anything else?
Well, just exposure to it.
Okay, exposure, reward. Yeah, exposure would be probably classified as just gaining knowledge. Let's find out a little bit more. Reward is certainly a motivator, without a doubt. If there is no reward, then most likely, most people like me don't have the desire to go any further than current condition. J.J. Turner felt that there was a decline in basic Bible knowledge. I guess we've probably seen that. All of us have seen that. I've been a member of the Church of Christ since my baptism when I was 13 years of age. And I have seen a lot of changes within the Churches of Christ. I haven't kept up with the changes of other religious organizations because I really didn't care too much about them. I certainly had some exposure to them. I was interested in what they taught. And, of course, there were a period of time that I went through in my younger years that I wanted to make sure that the Churches of Christ were teaching appropriately the Scripture and would compare that to other religious organizations. And I kind of decided that the Churches of Christ were on the right track. This decline in Bible knowledge certainly could be because of a willful ignorance, a lack of capability, or lack of desire, but as we have already discussed and we already know, that those can be overcome. The lacking of skills is in the same category, in that how would you know if you have any particular skills, whether they be skills within the congregation, skills at work, skills in your married life, skills anywhere, anytime you do anything, mowing the yard, how would you know if you have basic skills to do anything, talking specifically about what we do as a group when we meet on Sundays and when we have discussions like this on Wednesdays? How would you know whether you can lead singing, or whether you can teach, or whether you can preach, or whether you can greet, or whether you can fellowship, or whether you can spread the word? How would you know whether you have any of these basic skills? Well, I think you'd probably have to see if you could do them. If you don't try, to gain some knowledge about what you can do and what you can't do, then you will never know whether you could be utilized in an appropriate way, whether you could be utilized within the congregation, or whether you could be utilized as God would like to utilize you. I think an obligation that we all have as members of Christ's church is that we have been given skills, whatever they might be, and I think we've got an obligation to figure out what they are and how we can best use them. We have the Great Commission, and if we don't know whether we can act upon that in any way, shape, or form, then I think we're going to be disappointed when we stand before the judgment seat and are asked why we didn't do something about the skills that God gave us. So we need to overcome that ignorance. Certainly this type of lacking is not bliss, whether you know it or not. We have in John 17, 17 that it's going to take knowledge in order for us to figure out what we can do and what we can't do, and we're blessed by John 17, 17, who says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. We know that God's word is true. Our obligation is to study it. Our obligation is to understand it. Our obligation is to interpret it appropriately. Our obligation is to spread the word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If there is a decline in biblical knowledge, why would that be? I can think of a few. Decline in biblical knowledge. I have seen since my years in the Church of Christ, I've seen churches of Christ change their direction. I've seen them decide to go another way. I've seen members of the churches of Christ, people that I thought knew the scriptures very well, knew how to handle themselves in following scripture, knew what they should be doing as a baptized believer, but decided that they would either stay with a congregation that kind of got off track and got worse, or they left, or they moved for whatever reason and decided to go to some other church. I'm still baffled by some of the people that I know that seem to have lost their conviction in the word that I thought they had at one point in time. Do you agree there's a lacking in biblical knowledge today? Have you seen any change in direction of churches of Christ? Have you seen any change in direction of people that you know are were members of the church? I would say I don't think they can stay members of the church if they decide to go to the church of what's happening now, and many of them have gone that way. Frankly, I don't understand it, but they have. Now, what would take them away from it? I guess the only thing that I could think of is ignorance. They either did not know what they claimed they knew when they were members of the church, or they changed their mind somehow. They had influence in some other direction. And I've never really talked to anybody about that because most of them have moved such a distance that I haven't had the opportunity to ask them why they've just made the decision that they've made. It has surprised me, but I guess if I would truly examine my knowledge of them, maybe I shouldn't have been as surprised as I have been. Certainly many churches of Christ have lost their direction. The only way that they can lose their direction as an entire body of people as they would have to develop an ignorance within the word that they had probably had, or I thought they had. How else would it be possible to get off track? Well, they get off track because they have a desire to do that. They have a desire to go another way. We certainly know that evil seems to have a greater pull, has a greater draw, has a greater strength than does staying good or following God's word. Why is that? It's easy. If you want to take an easy lifestyle, you can just drop your belief in scripture and become like everybody else. Do what you want to do. Decline in biblical knowledge, no emphasis on learning the word. I'm thankful that we don't have that problem here. I think there is an emphasis on learning the word. I know that when I was younger, there was a lot of preaching on book, chapter, verse. A lot of hellfire and brimstone. We're a little less than that now, but I still think that the strong churches are teaching and preaching book, chapter, and verse. The churches of Christ's people were known as those who knew book, chapter, and verse. And I think we've kind of lost that within the community. We've lost that certainly within the country, that we are the people who know this. Many have accepted the fact that a minimal amount of knowledge is okay. It's satisfactory. You know enough to get by. I know enough to get by. I think I know enough of Scripture that I don't need to know any more in detail. What I'm doing is just fine. Some believe that studying Scripture is different than reading it. It is. We know that. We can read it. And what reading does, and in my opinion, is certainly get us to the point where we realize we need to study. You don't know you need to study it until you read it. But some are satisfied with just reading it and don't continue with studying. Maybe some of those that I saw leave the churches of Christ and go elsewhere just felt that just attending church was good enough. If I just go there, it's fine. These mega churches that we find, and there's a lot of them in Texas, there's a lot of them in a number of states, I think they're full of people that think that if you just go, you're fine. Just go. Just be there. Just be in attendance. You can be one of 10,000 or one of 15,000. That's fine. I'm not quite sure why they want to tolerate traffic like that or a huge parking lot where they have to walk a mile to get to the building. That would be the first clue to me that there's something wrong. But it's very popular. People like to be one of 10,000. I don't know why. One of 15,000. I don't know why. But I think they're consoled by the fact that all they have to do is attend, and that's fine. I think the preaching that they're exposed to, the teaching they're exposed to, probably is exactly the same way. You attend, you're fine. There's no demands of you other than we would like you to contribute. And I've never seen a poor preacher from one of those mega churches. So I don't know where people think their money's going, but they ought to look in the parking lot at that reserved spot with the Mercedes in it. That might give them a clue, but it doesn't seem to bother them. It's also easy to accept the common church lifestyle lacking the detail of the word. I know this is one of the motivating factors of many people going to mega churches is this is just what everybody does. Everybody acts this way. This ignorance is going to condemn them. And I really feel bad and really feel that I wish I could go to one of these mega churches and get up on Sunday morning and talk to these people and let them know where I think they're going wrong. That of course would never happen. They would not tolerate it. But I really hate to see people that are, and my neighbors are this way, people that are really trying, they think they're trying, they're giving their time, they're giving their money, they're going to church, they think they're going to be saved. All of them. But they're not. Their ignorance, whether it is willful, whether it is conditional, whether it is by their desire, their ignorance is going to condemn them. They're blissful. And I understand why they're blissful. They don't have a commitment in the word. You don't have a commitment in the word, you can be blissful. You have a commitment in the word, guess what? You've got to do something about it. When you learn that there's a requirement of God in the book that he gave us, so we knew what his requirements were, and now you know what they are, and you have to change your life, and you have to do something about it, that's work. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to do something. Most people don't really want to do anything. I want to go where they preach what I like. They preach the lifestyle that I want. That's where I want to go. And I think that that's exactly why there are so many tens of thousands of people going to these mega churches. You see them around the DFW area everywhere, and they've got all kinds of people. They seem happy. They think they know what they're doing. They think they're going to be in heaven. And I really, it really is discomforting to me to know that these people are trying. And how do we get to them? What do we do? I guess we can overcome ignorance in a number of ways. One certainly is a determined effort or desire to realize that I don't know everything and I understand the situation in which I find myself by remaining ignorant. You know, if you do remain ignorant, but you don't know it, it's kind of like a problem. If you don't know you have a problem, you're not going to seek any changes to overcome that problem. Ignorance is the same way. If you don't know you are ignorant, then you will not try and do anything about that ignorance. That's not uncommon. Let's look at Psalm 119. And just in one chapter, we'll find that we can overcome ignorance in these number of ways. Psalm 119, verses 7 and 8. I will give thanks unto thee with uprightness of heart. When I learn thy righteous judgments, I will observe thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. If we obey the statutes of God, we'll overcome our ignorance. Verse 9 cleanses our heart. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word with my whole heart. In verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. We can overcome ignorance and it will help us stop sinning. Verse 11, thy word have I laid up in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Verse 24, providing counseling, thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. This book is a counselor. Verse 28, providing strength and comfort. My soul melteth for heaviness, strength thou me according unto thy word, or I collapse from grief, sustain me by your word, in the New English Translation. Provide answers. Verse 42, so I shall have an answer for him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. Or in New English, then I will have a reply for the one who insults me, for I trust your word. Scripture gives hope, verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word, or I find hope in your word. It makes us wise. 98, this is studying the Bible, overcoming ignorance. Verse 98. Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. It makes us wise. Studying scripture provides understanding. Verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You know, you wouldn't know that you hate every false way unless you understood what God would expect of you. That's where we determine what is false and what isn't. To order our steps, verse 133. Establish my footsteps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. To know the entire truth, verse 160. The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteousness ordinances endureth forever. Or New English, your instructions are totally reliable, all your just regulations endure. And to provide revival, verse 154. Plead thou my cause and redeem me, quicken me according to thy word. Ignorance of Scripture is, I think, what J.J. Turner is trying to specifically determine is not bliss. Ignorance of Scripture because of the outcome of not having a knowledge of Scripture is very, very detrimental. I have a cousin, Gary, who's a doctorate degree in psychology. He teaches at Connor State College in Muskogee, Oklahoma. This was June 4th. He took a trip to Ireland and England. He posted this on June 4th. He said, "Sunday, a day on which less than 2% of Britons go to church. What do they do? They ride the train to Oxford, where they eat all of the Trout Inn, wander around taking photos and find treasures of antiques on high." And I don't know what on high is or where that is. When in Rome, and he's apologizing to probably the preacher where he goes to church, James McCracken, will be in church next Sunday. What struck me about this is, and I trust him in his knowledge of 2%. I don't know where he got it, but I don't think he would mislead. I don't know what the percentage is in the United States, but I know that certainly a lot fled England to get away from the Church of England, and that's one reason we have the United States of America. But if 2% of Britons don't even go to church, would you consider that a level of ignorance? 2% of Britons don't even go. I'm amazed by that number. I didn't know it was that low. I don't know what the percentage is of those that even go to church in the United States. I think it's higher than that. I'm not sure what it is, but a lot of the people that are going, well, let's say Gary was wrong by half, 4%. That's horrible. That is pathetic. Let's say that's wrong. Let's say it's 8%. What percentage could we get to before we're willing to accept it as a reasonable percentage of people that want to remain ignorant, that don't want to have anything to do with Scripture or God's Word? What percentage is acceptable? Well, for us in this body, it's zero. It's God wants everyone saved. That's the desire. Everyone should have salvation, should seek it. Our obligation is to make sure they're at least introduced to the Word so that they have an opportunity to reject it in their own way, if they wish. 2%. This isn't anything that J.J. Turner provided. This is from my book that I haven't written. What's wrong with this picture? I worked for Continental Airlines for almost 15 years. Not in the cockpit, thank goodness, although that's what I wanted to do, is when I got my bachelor's degree, I got a commercial pilot's license and an instrument rating, and I had about 30 airlines saying, no, I don't need you. The hours that I had didn't match the 3,000-hour jet time pilots coming out of Vietnam, and I had a rude awakening. I was ignorant. I thought 280 hours certainly would buy me the capability of flying for a commercial airline. It didn't do that. So I got a job working on the ground for 15 years. What's the problem with this? Yeah. This is a landing of a DC-9. I'm not sure what city. Landing of a DC-9 with no gear. It's a Continental Airlines DC-9. And I understand, because I've joined a couple of Continental groups of ex-cons, as we call ourselves. We don't work there anymore. So we're ex-Continental people, ex-cons. And the word was, in this particular instance, the crew, and it carries a crew of two, a captain and a co-pilot, captain and first officer, were arguing from where they took off all the way through their approach and forgot to put down the gear. Now, this is the kind of ignorance, this is what I call it. This is from my book. This is situational awareness deficiency. We all have it. I do, you do, everybody on earth has it. I think situational awareness deficiency is the reason, and if you look at many of the findings of the CAB on accident investigations of aircraft, you will find that most of it was cockpit mismanagement. That's their way of saying situational awareness deficiency. Cockpit mismanagement or pilot error. Airplanes don't just fly into the ground for no reason. Yes, they do have mechanicals, but they're multi-engined. Things can usually be salvaged until Sully put an Airbus into the Hudson. We'd never really heard of an airplane incapable of flying, but that was the first time a flock of birds had been hit and put out both engines of a two-engine airplane. And no one died. The guy's a true hero. Situational awareness deficiency, I think, is the biggest problem that we have today, not only within the church, but just everywhere. Automobile accidents, I believe, the collisions of two cars is because one of the drivers is not aware of their situation. And I've been caught in that as well. I've been driving a car too fast for the conditions, and off the road I went and totaled my dad's car. Thank goodness it wasn't mine. I was in college. What did I know? I was young, and I didn't know much about anything in many situations where I was. So I totaled his car because I was driving too fast in conditions that were bad weather. Didn't seem to bother me. I did not understand the situation in which I found myself. Situational awareness deficiency in this case is obvious, and the result is obvious. When we have many people within church or outside of church or anywhere else, that this is where we're going to find ourselves. I think our obligation as Christians is to extract those that have situational awareness deficiency, that are lost because of it, and are trying. You know, there are a lot of people that go to church. They're trying, but they're just in the wrong place. They don't understand their situation. They don't understand how grave it is. And certainly, there are those of us at one point in time, while we may not have understood our situation, we did. Someone, a preacher, a teacher, someone said to us that we needed to be baptized for the remission of our sins. That's what God expects of us. And we realize that my situation is very dire. If I don't do something about my current situation, I will be condemned. I will go to hell. That's the fear factor. And we decided to change the condition in which we found ourselves, which was lost, to a situation where we can walk in the light and we're saved. So situational awareness deficiency, as I like to call it, is one that we need to either change in our own life, and we can have that same problem even if we're baptized believers, but we're not walking in the light. And there are many like that, that are baptized believers and have been baptized believers, that are no longer walking in the light. Their situation is going to be death. Your situation, if you're not a baptized believer, but you know you're at an age of accountability, and you know that you need to do something about it, about your current situation, that not walking in the light will lead to condemnation, you need to do something about that. This congregation, the elders here, are here to do anything that they can to assist anybody. We have a baptistry. If you think your situation is to the point where you are condemned, but you're old enough to know better, You need to do something about it. Baptism is one way to get on the right start. If you're not walking in the light or you haven't been, you can turn that around. You can walk in the light. This congregation is here to assist you in any number of ways that it can, and if that does affect you, you may come forward as we stand and sing.